Yo, what up, Nashville? 3HL, 4 o'clock hour. Brent Daugherty, Don Davenport. Ron Slay is off being a basketball coach today. He's looking for a dub, Don. What do you think about Coach Slay? Coach Slay and Coach Maimon, Jerron Maimon.
Oh, I think Slay will be a great coach.
Do you think Slay gets a technical foul?
Absolutely, 100% yes.
If they win, they will be playing the MAC Unity team, or they will be playing Ohio State.
Guess who's on the Ohio State team?
Ooh.
Aaron Kraft, Mr. Barbecue himself. You don't think those old Tennessee dudes want some of that? It's like, who is on this team? So 6 o'clock tonight on ESPN. This is on the Big Daddy Network. And if they win, they win a bunch of money, and they move on to the second round.
Like they win money per win in each game, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I'm looking for the. Oh, I forgot. You have a shot at College Game Day. I forgot about that. I'm just going through our text thread.
Our sports betting numbers. Yeah.
Yeah,
there's
some that are like 5-1, 8-1. Yeah. Dawn's 100-1, but yes. She's got a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance. I'm going to go ahead and tell you.
I'm out on this. What are we talking about?
Yeah, sorry. Awful announcing.
I'm just over here eating my pasta, man. I have no clue what we're talking about.
What kind of pasta you got over there?
It's something my father-in-law made. It's spicy. It's really good. It's the first time I've got to eat today, not help with the shot.
That's probably not helping your sweating cause.
We should do updates on how you're doing. So if you're just tuning in, Joe Hunk had the second shot. We're all over the place, I know, but we'll get there. We'll get to all of these things. Joe Hunk had the second shot today. Moderna?
Yes, the Moderna shot.
And you were feeling cold but also sweating earlier?
Yeah, I was
dripping sweat when I walked in.
I was dripping sweat while she and I, when I first saw her. Now it's just cold sweat. Like I'm sitting over here. And I feel cool, and there's
I'm thinking random pasta dish from father-in-law is a great idea right now.
It is. It's the only food I had, okay? I had a Butterfinger before I got my shot, and now I'm eating pasta.
Right?
Father-in-law, he could be trying to kill you off, bro.
I know he just got his shot. He's going to be weakened.
You updated your life insurance?
Poisoning.
No, actually, I'm having to swap total insurances all right now as we speak as well. So, no, it's not really a good time for me to get sick, guys.
Oh, dear.
So Slay and Don and game day.
Slay at 6 o'clock. We'll get to that. Don has a shot, according to, who was it? Awful announcing?
Oh, yeah, yes.
It's 100-1, but there's a chance.
So they did an article about Maria Taylor is gone, who's going to take her place on College Game Day. 100-1. I'm listed in a group of girls at 100-1. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I would maybe move that 100 to about, 900.
You can confirm that there have been no discussions.
Confirm that that's probably not going to happen.
I could see.
But I do appreciate the 100-1 odds.
Could you see Don interacting with some of those on the set whenever they say something stupid about another football team? Oh my God. The look that Don, like that we see.
Listen,
on TV.
Street, I've had enough out of you.
That is bonk.
Stop laughing, Reese Davis. I'm coming at you too.
This is why y'all Florida suck, okay?
Yeah. I don't think that's my jam.
Let's be honest. I mean, maybe you should call ESPN and go, hey, man, College Game Day, I'll pay y'all like $500 a week.
Just go show up.
Yeah. Save a whole bunch of money, and I can make you some. That would be an awesome, awesome deal. That show
is so damn good.
Oh, my gosh. And it's amazing that it's lasted this long and been, you know, recreated and fine-tuned and
gets better. And, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it started with Craig James, if you'll remember correctly, and then he bolted for what he thought was a better opportunity.
Whoops.
Enter Kirk Herbstreit, who is the voice of college football. Flat out. He hates it when I say that, but
also
it's
phenomenal.
True.
Yes.
Phenomenal. So Reese Davis, great. You know, I mean, Chris Fowler was great in that role, but then, you know, they just keep moving. And man, Tom Rinaldi making you cry every week.
Oh, but he gone.
He gone.
He tried to make you cry after what, the All-Star game? Yeah. He tried to do that there because he was the one doing the interview after the home run derby.
Yeah, I missed Vlad. That. I missed that. What happened there?
He basically just started asking Vlad Guerrero Jr., so what did this mean for you knowing that, you know, your father was an All-Star and everything that he's done and all this stuff? And, like, you could really see he was trying.
Behind the curtain, if y'all notice, sometimes when we have interviews, I do that crap. I totally go in on it.
Oh, and but see.
But I want the real.
Oh, absolutely.
I want the real. I don't want, you know, like, oh, how tall are you? How many home runs did you have last year?
No, he really did. He started being like,
I want
like,
the fun, too, though.
How do you now connect with your father, being that you've won a home run derby, and he's like, you know, this is for you, Dad. And all, like, you could see, like, Rinaldi was going Rinaldi on that.
Rinaldi.
Yeah, so he's gone. I'm going to –
You can do that.
Yes. Make us cry, Don.
You don't need the Maria
I'll make
Taylor
you cry,
role.
All right.
You need the Rinaldi role.
Boston, please.
I feel like Maria It is Trash Talk Friday, isn't it? Look at Joe Hung just getting all in on it.
Austin, please.
I feel like the Maria Taylor role was like lessened year after year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she started at one point in time. It was basically she was doing a couple of interviews, and then she was also doing the is their version of Come On Man or whatever with David Pollack.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that was it. And then it was like a fan piece. So I don't know. I will miss Rinaldi's storytelling, no doubt.
He is a great storyteller.
Yes.
Man.
But Jen Latta for ESPN does a phenomenal job at storytelling. She did College Game Day stories as well. And so I would assume that she will just kind of take that role and she'll make you cry too. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, we got to circle back. So Slay, yes. TBT, it's a throwback league. And so it's 64 teams, win in advance, and that's it. You lose, you're done.
Yep.
So they play tonight at 6 o'clock, so check them out. If they win, then I think they play again on Tuesday?
Sunday. If they win, they play Sunday. If they win Sunday, then they play Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've already got them playing Tuesday. Take that, Ohio State.
There you go.
Trash talk bees. Baltimore, please. 615-737-1045. Joe Hunk has some audio that you need to hear. By the way, real quick, before we get to the audio, I pulled this up and didn't do it. Chris Lofton, this is the roster.
Okay.
Chris Lofton, Josh Selby, who was a five-star guy, went to Kansas. Wayne Chisholm, Duke Cruz, Juwan Smith, Cam Tatum, Tyler Smith. Ron Slay and Gerard Mamon are the coaches. There are other players, too, but this will be fun. I'm looking forward to it. All right, Missouri player asked about Oklahoma and Texas coming to the SEC, had a great take. Check this out.
I guess it would be cool, but, I mean, I wouldn't be around to play them, so I don't – but if you can't handle, like, a horns down gesture, I figure it'll probably be tough to play in this league.
Trash talk
my
Friday.
My headphones just fell right off my head.
Missouri, the biggest trash talking team in the SEC.
Hunk, give me that again. I don't even know who this guy is.
I guess it would be cool, but I mean, I wouldn't be around to play him, so I don't. But if you can't handle like a horns down gesture, I figure it'll probably be tough to play in this league.
I love that so much.
It's
Hunk.
So subtle, too. It's like he's got that country accent.
Like, aw shucks.
Like,
and then
aw
just
shucks.
You.
I'm like the nicest just country guy. Listen to me. Like, I'm not going to say anything mean about anybody except if you, you know, bless your heart. If you can't handle horns bless down, you're dead. It's so good.
I mean,
oh, the shade.
The whole Texas program just got blasted by this like Southern draw Missouri lineman.
Mm-hmm.
Just blasted.
Mm-hmm.
Take that for data.
Oh,
615-737-1045. Hey, we've got Alan Bell coming up, and he's got week one SEC college football point spreads. He's got all kinds of things. Team USA over in the Olympics. By the way, why do they do events before they do the opening ceremonies? How stupid is that?
There's a reason. There is a reason.
There's no reason.
The reason is because for certain fields, you have so many games that you have to get in a certain amount of time. So you
didn't
have
the opening ceremonies 4 days ago.
Look, I don't disagree. The softball game was being played on the baseball field the other day, and like the bases were all scooted up like it's Little League. Gosh. I'm not kidding. It was.
Like the Bad News Bears and Astrodome?
Yes, it's exactly what it was. You had like the bases scooted up and like where the field's normally cut out for first and third base and second base.
Hey,
that's like where the bases were.
At least we have the Olympics right now.
And a variation of.
I know, but there was a very strong thought that we might not even have it.
So I woke up, and this was early in the morning, so I don't know. TV was on. I think it was like the ABC early new world news thing. And they were saying something about, like, the guy that directed the opening ceremonies got fired, and they had, like, 100 people test positive for corona, including 6 athletes, like, yesterday.
They were seriously about 3 days ago talking about if this is going to get canceled.
Yeah, and now
at some point in time, they're
now the guy running the whole IOC or whatever said there's no scenario where this is going to end, like, get canceled. No scenario.
Probably because somebody from NBC said, like heck you are.
How many hundreds of millions have got tied into
like
this?
Like Houston, you are.
Yeah, exactly. All right. When we go back, Alan Bell. College football week one point spreads, I haven't even looked at them. I can't wait to hear this. This is next on 3HL. So funny you play this. Yesterday, driving in, NWA and Ice Cube. That's what I was rolling with.
Oh, you rocking some of that?
Yeah. And then you play Dope Man coming in. 615-737-1045. Did you play that because it's 420-ish?
Absolutely.
Or because Alan Bell is on the
line? And absolutely.
AB, what's up? How are you?
Well, I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. Yeah, that's a banger right there for sure.
Banger. Don is dancing. Have fun on Zone TV.
I am too.
Oh.
B and AB are dancing.
Together, isn't
that? Absolutely.
That's cute.
AlabelleSportsLine.com. Hey, on the front end, tell people what they're going to get when they go to sportsline.com because it's lots of numbers.
Oh, tons of them, right? Like, we're breaking down everything for college football, the NFL, obviously, MLB. We've got Olympics experts. And when I say experts, I mean this. We have people that are breaking down swimming. We have people that are breaking down total medals, gold medals, you name it. It goes way beyond just basketball. So, yeah, Sportsline, I'm telling you, we've got you covered all the way on any sport you can imagine.
Maybe you can answer this question. Why are we having events before we're having the opening ceremony, AB?
Yeah, I don't understand it at all. Like, let's have the opening ceremony, and then let's have the events, right? I'm with you. It makes zero sense to me whatsoever.
All right, so how into the Olympics are you? I saw a tweet last night that may or may not have happened because I might have had a couple of bourbons. But if I remember correctly, there was some weird stuff you're looking at in the Olympics that you're excited about betting on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at it right now, right? Like, all we have really is Major League Baseball. And nothing against it. I love it. But we've got about a month till football, so this is the perfect time to get in on betting the Olympics. Look, I'm all in on shooting, rhythmic gymnastics, surfing. We've got ping pong. Like, we have all of it, man. The 3HL crew, I can't wait to see you guys doing rhythmic gymnastics. You're going to crush it.
What?
Majored in that for 2 semesters.
He came at me with rhythmic gymnastics for the 3HL yesterday, and it's like a guy with a ribbon and all that stuff. I've seen rhythmic.
Yeah, Will Ferrell kills it.
Yeah, I've seen rhythmic gymnastics, but I would trip over that ribbon. There is no doubt.
That's why they're in Tokyo and we're here, right?
Oh, no question. I mean, we were having drinks the other day, and I just sent my water and my beer right on top of Will Bowling. Mm. I mean, it was lake bowling.
And then spilled his drink in the Sprinter van, too. I mean, sorry.
Uh-oh. He was enjoying himself. Man, no, I can't blame him on that. It's hot outside.
All right, let's talk some numbers here.
I blame Zaxby's on that one. That was fair. That cup crushed in my hand. Sorry, Ramon.
It was bunk. Okay, total medals, AB.
Yeah.
let's talk some numbers here. For U.S. odds, total medals is an easy one for somebody just generic to jump in to bet.
Absolutely. So when you look at total medals, the U.S., the over-under is set at 111.5. Now, look, the favorite is on the over, minus 130. under is set at plus 100. So they're favored to go over 111.5. So take a look there. The U.S. is also, you know, in terms of total gold medals, the U.S. is favored by minus 800. So that's roughly about a 79%, you know, statistical probability of happening.
Oh, wow.
This should be a U.S. domination in Tokyo.
Why does that happen? Like, why do we dominate the Olympics so much? Like, why can't people catch up to us?
I know.
We got better drugs than everybody else. Is that what it is?
Well, you know, it's so funny because it's like, how do people get into these sports, especially like winter, right? Like, where do you go and play like little league bobsledding? Like, I have no idea how you become that, like, professionally, right? And we bring the best over in like everything. It's crazy to me. I want to see like where these like little league training facilities are.
I mean, does it like the one snowfall that Nashville would get when we were a kid and we'd be headed down the hill? We would be thinking that though, right? Like, look out, Herschel Walker. Because that's
exactly.
That's what we were looking at back then, Herschel Walker in a bobsled.
Yeah, it's Brent Doherty in 94 Ice Storm just going down the street, right? Like, I love it.
Yeah, and I was old at that point too. Dude, that it's funny that you say 94. That's the year that Knoxville, we had 23 inches of snow overnight.
That's insane. Could you imagine that now? That's crazy.
Yeah, could you imagine if that happened now?
No.
Like, what?
Oh, God.
But you know what's funny about that? We were on campus, right? Like, the University of Tennessee had snow plows. The city of Knoxville did not. So Knoxville was under siege by this storm for like a month. UT, we missed one day. We're back in school.
Everybody swinging over to Gus's Good Times Deli.
No doubt.
No doubt about that. All right, so let's talk about Team USA from a basketball perspective. The NBA Finals ended, and they pick up three players, including Devin Booker. So what do you think about Team USA basketball now, even though they started 0-2?
Yeah, so, you know, I understand that was, exhibition games. I'm not saying they're going to dominate. They clearly have some things they have to work on. But it actually starts and begins. The run starts this Sunday at 7 a.m. Understand, it's in Tokyo. You're going to have some crazy times going on. So Sunday at 7 a.m., their first game, they play against France. USA is an 11.5-point favorite, and the total is set at 178.5. So think about that in terms of what we just saw in the NBA Finals. You know, over-under was roughly 220, somewhere around there. So you're going to see a little, you know, tighter-type games. It's going to be officiated a little bit differently. So understand that going in. But, yeah, Sunday morning, 7 a.m., USA, 11.5-point favorite. And they're the favorite to win the gold medal in basketball at minus 300. The next closest team is, like, plus 800. So that goes to show that whatever happened in exhibition – Vegas is still believing heavily in Team USA.
So you think they go undefeated? You don't know still?
I still don't know.
Oh, come on, Babs.
I know. Slay told me I was crazy for getting all upset about exhibition, but still.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's the toughest part, right, is because you just don't know based on what we just saw. But, again, remember, you know, we see exhibition in NFL preseason. Like, we see it in hockey and the NBA. You know, these guys, when games start, like, they could turn it on, turn it off. You know what I mean?
I got you. All right, let's talk some college football. Alan Bell from Sportsline.com with us, at AlanBell247. You've got all of the opening week odds, including Bowling Green at Tennessee. Josh Heupel's first game, how big a favorite are the Vols?
Yep, so Tennessee is the only SEC game that's going to be on Thursday, on September 2nd. All right, so Bowling Green at Tennessee. Tennessee is a 33-point favorite over Bowling Green, a massive, massive number. So it goes to show Vegas is clearly, all in on Tennessee in that game. That's a lot of points, obviously, to cover, you know, with, you know, all the changes, not only on the coaching staff, but the players, et cetera. So there's a lot of things going on with that, but
That's a massive number, AB.
Right, because
I get that it's Bowling Green. I get that, but that is a massive number for a brand new offense and quarterback and roster and all of that.
Yeah, which is exactly what you like. That's kind of game that you want, you know, as a brand new head coach, like at a new school, come in, look good, feel good, get some points on the board, get a little confidence going, you know what I mean?
Right, and, I mean, I'm like Dawn. I'd probably stay away from that one. I don't know how you feel about it. We're a long way out, obviously. But to go a little bit further into this thing, I would be more worried about Tennessee's defense giving up like three touchdowns,
yeah.
and then you've got to outscore them by 33.
Yep, see, 100%, right? I mean, Tennessee's offense is going to go fast, but yeah, like, if you don't score, yeah, your defense is left on an island. So, you know, I think we're going to learn a lot about, you know, not only this year, but just what Josh Heupel and his offense, his staff, you know, is trying to do at Tennessee. It's going to look different because I'm telling you, and, you know, you guys know, you've seen Josh Heupel and what he does. We're not talking fast. We're talking lightning fast. This guy gets plays in like crazy. So it's going to be a different looking Tennessee offense than we've seen in a while.
Yeah, Velus Jones told us at SEC Media Days, I feel like a kid in the candy store when asked
yeah.
about
yeah.
the high speed. Like, what does this speed and up-tempo thing look like? And he goes, I feel like a kid in a candy store. So that's interesting.
Wow.
I've always said this offseason, the Heupel game, the benchmark game is that Pittsburgh game in week two. If they could somehow win that one, maybe that's the one that gets them over the hump and into a bowl game. I don't know. But that would be a 50-50 game in week two, I would think, right?
Yep. I would think so, too. You know, and you know, you're probably looking at a line that's, you know, 2, 2.5 on either side could be, you know, depending on what happens in week one. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty tough game for sure.
Meanwhile, Auburn, the Fighting War Eagles, Don, 36.5-point favorites over Akron.
Big time. 36.5 at home against Akron. And you know Auburn's going to try to do the same thing. Like, they're going to try to get this thing started quickly. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to be a fast-paced game as well. I'm excited to see Auburn. I'm ready to see, you know, kind of what something different looks like over there because they've got talent, obviously. They recruit very well every year. I'm fired up to see it. Week one is going to be a lot of fun, even though the game – you know, beyond like Georgia and Clemson, you know, they're not, you know, a bunch of massive marquee games. But we've got just a lot of change, you know, in the conference. It's going to be a blast.
I think Georgia goes undefeated. I think Georgia wins the national championship. I'm going to go ahead and throw that out there. I think they win the SEC. But hit me with that Georgia-Clemson game because they're an underdog in that game in Charlotte. What do you think about it?
Yeah, so they're a 4-point underdog. Clemson, 4-point favorite. Game is in Charlotte. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be obviously, you know, the game of the week across the board. I can't wait to see it because you've got a lot of change, you know, at Clemson. We've got no Trevor Lawrence. They put a ton of players in the league. And Georgia seemed to figure it out at the end of last year. Once they got that quarterback position settled, I don't think Georgia really skips a beat. And if you're getting one +4, obviously there's going to be a lot of Clemson fans there in Charlotte, but I mean, it's Georgia. They're going to travel, too. Like, I don't think that's going to be any massive, you know, advantage for them. So I'm with you. I like Georgia in this game. Don't get me wrong. Clemson's going to be good. You know, they had to replace Deshaun Watson at one point. They did it with Trevor Lawrence. So, I mean, they're going to be all right. But I don't think Georgia skips a beat. I think they come in hot on both sides of the ball.
Georgia was number one defense in the country last year. They had a bunch of guys come back because they wanted to run it back.
# unfinished business.
That's it.
You saw that all across Twitter.
Yep, and they got several dudes in that front seven that did that came back. So I anticipate Georgia's defense being really good. They've got to replace some stuff in the secondary, but I think they'll be really good. And then they're one of the few in the league that has a quarterback that you know what you got, and it took him a minute to get on the field, but 4-0 and averaged, 339 yards, something like that in those last four games. They look like they're in prime position to maybe get it done for the first time since 1980. So I'm looking forward to that. What do you think about the Alabama-Miami game? Because there's some talk about Alabama that people are concerned about all that they lost on offense, which we should know by now that you shouldn't be concerned about what they lose on the field or on the sideline. But, you know, they had Heisman Trophy winner, Heisman Trophy finalist, Najee Harris at running back, Remington Award winner. I mean, you can go down the list.
And John Mechie basically told us that we were crazy for thinking that the coach change would have any impact.
Right. So what do you think? Alabama, a big favorite against Miami in that opener.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I've already bet this game. Alabama against Miami. It's in Atlanta. Alabama's an 18-point favorite. That line has gone up about a point. They opened at 17-point favorites. Look, and I'll tell you exactly why. If you're going to bet Alabama in this game, do it now because that line is not going anywhere but up. If you wait till that day, you're going to be looking at 21, somewhere around there. And look, the reason that I feel comfortable about it is that all those players that are gone, yeah, they're replacing them with talented young players, but you know how Nick Saban is. He's going to be on them like crazy in fall camp, letting them know that they aren't anything. That team that won last year is not them. He's got a new quarterback who he's going to be hard on everybody in camp. So by the time that they get to that Miami game, I would not be surprised if they come out looking to just blast everybody moving. Plus their quarterback, Bryce Young. This kid might be the real deal. He's going to be phenomenal. So, yeah, I'm all over Alabama, all over. Plus, look at them, what they do in week one. Like, they play a big team every year and just beat them down, right? And they replace their team every single year. So, yeah, if you're going to bet Alabama, do it now. Don't wait.
I know they replace their team every year, but not necessarily to this extent of replacing
their
team.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's absolutely true. And an offensive coordinator, right? Sark's gone, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you're right.
But they got Bill O'Brien. No problem.
Sark's about to be back in the SEC, too.
That how weird is that going to be? That's going to be so strange to see him standing by Saban and just getting chewed out. It's going to be wild.
Was there anything related to all of that line-wise as far as...
One time, was there?
I guess there really wasn't. But, I mean, just in generalization of the SEC expanding or who's the next team, anything like that? I don't know.
No, not really. You know, just because there's so much change that can happen. And plus, we're looking at, 2025, when all this happens. So, no. The crazy thing, though, is this. One, we saw Nick Saban, you guys saw it, firsthand down there, when he was talking about, his quarterback making, seven figures. First, he said that specifically to the next group of five-star recruits. So they hear it thinking, oh, I'm going to go to Alabama. But two, he said that 3 months ago at a Texas high school football convention, which makes me think that Nick Saban knew that this was happening all along. Like, this guy never, ever misses a chance. It's crazy. Like, he's just on top of everything.
That's the most amazing part of this story to me is that it was kept under wraps for so long. And then Texas A&M's like, you know what? It's Wednesday at SEC Media Days. Have fun with this one. And then just dropped it on all of us.
Yeah, let me say this. Texas A&M just found out where they are on the SEC totem pole. And that's, we're not answering your call or we don't care about your vote.
Oh, man. I tell you what. Before we go, I just want to talk about this one, LSU at UCLA.
Yeah.
4.5. UCLA struggled last year.
Yeah, they did.
I guess did LSU, right?
I think LSU was trying to find itself. They had one of those Alabama-type years last year, but, 2 years ago, right? It's hard to replace special guys, especially guys like Joe Burrow. But they've got some good quarterback play, and, with what they went through last year, I wouldn't be surprised if LSU comes out a little, let's just say, angry, right? They want to prove that, that they're LSU for sure. It's a long road trip, but I'd rather do that in week one than any other time because you got time to prepare, prepare and plan for it. And I'm not betting on Chip Kelly whatsoever. So I think 4.5 is a pretty good number. That number is going to go up as well. I wouldn't be surprised to see LSU around 6 once we get, to that Saturday. So, yeah, I think LSU rolls in that one. If they figure out their quarterback situation, kind of similar of what Georgia was last year, they figure that part out, LSU is just going to out-athlete UCLA.
Well, and it'll be interesting. That number will absolutely change because UCLA plays week 0. So UCLA plays Hawaii prior to that LSU game on August 28th.
Yeah, have fun with that with your defense. You're going to be running all over the field.
By the way, if you're wondering, if you're a Vandy guy and you're wondering why we haven't brought up ETSU at Vanderbilt, there's no line there, right?
Right.
Correct, yeah. What they previously called D2, D1, yeah, they don't set lines on that one. South Carolina is another team. They don't have a line either.
All right, thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend, AB. Appreciate you.
Hey, y'all too, man. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, there he is, Alan Bell, 247 on Twitter. Check him out, sportsline.com. We'll do some more sports gambling news for you with Todd Furman coming up at 5 o'clock.
Real quick, I don't know if you saw one of AB's tweets, but he went and found and pulled the old Jefferson Pilot Sports logo and tweeted it and said, hey, Texas, Oklahoma, get familiar with your new history, JP Sports logo. I loved it. You know what Perfect. I did? I sent that to my boy Dave Neal.
Of course you did.
He used to call those.
Yep.
He's one of the three Daves?
Yes.
One of the three Daves?
I never knew that.
Yep. You didn't know that? Dave Neal has been calling SEC games forever.
Dave Baker. Bob Kessling was involved in some of those broadcasts as well. All right, Jackson and Smyrna, when we come back. Also, I've got an unbelievable Freddie Freeman stat for you next on 104.5 The Zone. Yo, it's the mayor. I want to talk with you about a new mobile brake repair service that I'm really excited about called New Brakes Mobile Brake Repair. New Brakes, that's nubrakes.com. They will send a full-time certified brake tech to your home, office, or wherever you are to fix your brakes on the spot. They come to you. If you've got summer road trip plans, maybe you think your brakes might be old, worn down, or squeaky, and have New Brakes come and check them out before you leave. Again, nubrakes.com. The best part is they only work on brakes, so you're never going to be upsold. 3HL 104.5, The Zone. Cleveland Indians changed their name today. They are now the Cleveland Guardians.
Yeah.
Cleveland Guardians?
Okay, so the reason behind it is apparently on, like, their biggest bridges throughout the city, they have these humongous guardians. Like, if you've watched the new season or the only season of Loki, like those guardians that are inside of the TVA, it's something like that. So they're calling them, that's where they got the Guardians name. They literally spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to change two letters of their name. It's the same font. Like, they literally just went to their font from, like, the 80s.
Here's the thing, though. 70s. Like, you pay a group of people to come up with a name, and you come up with Guardians. Like, you're playing the Cleveland Rocks song there. Did Mickey say it? Who said it earlier?
It was Buck. And Buck said it,
and he was right. They should just be the Cleveland Rocks.
See, I wanted Cleveland Spiders. Like, I wanted them to Spiders. Go old. Yeah, that was their old. I want to say maybe in their Negro Leagues team's name was the Cleveland Spiders. And it was, like, that sounded really cool. It was embedded in the city.
Paul Dolan says, the name embodies Cleveland, Cleveland's pride, resiliency, and loyalty. Really? I don't know. They're going to be changing your Braves name at some point there, Hunk.
People keep saying that, but at the same time, there's nothing. Got to be careful how I say this. From what I have read about the history of the name, there is nothing that is connected to anything racist. Whew, that's a hard dance. But yes.
What do you think, Dawn? Change the name of the Braves or no? Want to go out on that plank?
Nope, I don't. I'm sorry. I'm trying to respond to this idiot excuse of a human being who just attacked me on Twitter for vaccine talk.
Did he tell you to repent for your sins?
We offered no opinion.
No opinion. Because
you just told what happened.
Because I called out somebody. So clearly I don't want to get into the Braves Indians talk because I'm already dealing with this like controversy.
What about watching a football team? You want to go there too?
Yeah, we can go there too.
What about Ducks? Are the Anaheim Ducks? Is that offensive to Ducks?
It pisses off Mallards. I don't know.
Mallards are really hot about that.
Yes, they're. It's a big, big thing in their circle.
All right. Interesting. All right. Freddie Freeman to go move on. Freddie Freeman has gone 29 straight plate appearances without a single swing and miss. Can you imagine that in Major League Baseball? Now, granted, the spin rate's not quite the same as it used to be.
No spider tech, speaking of spiders. No spider tech, yep.
You weren't a pitcher.
No, but I was a catcher.
So you could see that thing spinning.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And trust me.
Did you have, like, rosin in your catcher's mitt? Like, could you do it, or does the pitcher have to do it?
Well, see, the rosin never, like, we had rosin bags. Remember, people forget that before 2020, rosin bags were on the back of the mound. Like, there was the home team put a rosin bag out on the mountain. And then 2020
we
hit.
Use them in 10U. Yeah, well, baseball.
No, I'm serious. And then in 2020, because of COVID, everybody said, hey, pitchers got to bring their own rosin bags out.
Yeah.
So it really wasn't a big deal then.
Franklin Bombers had them.
Oh, trust me. I mean, that scene from Major League, oh, that's legit. I'm throwing everything I can at him, Skipper, and he's rubbing his shoulders and everything. Oh, trust me, that is legit.
He had all kinds of crap all over his body.
He had
man.
Vaseline on his shoulders. He was using sweat. Oh, yeah.
You'll get old once, too. Jackson and Smyrna talking about the Olympics. Jackson, what's up? How are you, man?
What's going on, buddy? How you doing, man?
Hey, we're good.
Hey, I want to start by saying the whole Cleveland Guardians things is that sounds like a double-A baseball team in Little Rock, Arkansas. That is the most ridiculous thing I think I've ever heard in my life. That's the first thing.
I really think you should stop the call there, but I will allow you to keep going. I mean, that was really good.
Yeah, thanks, man. What I was going to say is about the Olympics, and I have a theory of why America always dominates.
Okay.
One, I would say, is because our country is just huge. You know, the only country that compared, would you say, is China and Russia, right? And also, our country is so big and so diverse, we have so many different environments and cultural differences here. You know, like up north, they're good at basketball. Down south, they're good at football. Out west, we're good at surfing, which is now an Olympic sport, right? How many Russian surfers do you know? I'll give you $100 right now if you can name one surfer from Croatia.
I was wrong.
Vladimir.
You kept it going.
Yeah, Vladimir Gutenstadt, the best surfer in the world. There's not a single Vladimir Gutenstadt that's good at surfing. I'll tell you what he's good at. He's good at killing bears and roasting marshmallows. That's it.
Jackson's out.
Bears roasting marshmallows.
Record that one. We'll play that call and yesterday's best call at the end of the show and see who had the call of the week.
By the way, driving home yesterday during the after party, I listened to it again. Hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
There was a call yesterday. We'll play it for you at the end of the show. Or maybe in the 5:20. I don't know. We'll play it in the 5 o'clock hour. But there was a call yesterday where he just said everything was dumb. About Texas and Oklahoma coming to the SEC.
We have to get tornado insurance, and that is dumb.
I got a ticket once in Oklahoma following a Winnebago, and that was dumb.
My second worst girlfriend was a Texas fan, and that is dumb.
And my first worst ex-girlfriend was an Oklahoma fan, and that's dumb.
Tony,
great.
Tony the Stud wraps up the 4 o'clock hour. Tony, what's up, man? How are you?
Are you sure I'm not Tony the Hunk? I think that's what was happening in the first of the segment, right? Is that where we went?
Did I say that?
Ah, yeah, that's what I heard.
That's because Hunk's behind the glass.
Yeah.
Right off the top, you're going to put me into the segment, but call me the wrong name. Thanks, Brent. Appreciate it.
Well, do you want to be
Tony? You want to be Stud or Hunk? It's not like he called you a jerk or something.
Yeah, Tony the Hunk's not bad.
But we've already got Joe Hunk, so we already got the Hunk. You need the Hunk and the Stud. It's a duo. It's a team. You know what I mean?
Maybe you and Hunk are a duo.
Tag team, bro. Here we go.
All right. Well, we'll stop that right there. How's it going, guys? SEC football, right? Texas, Oklahoma. That is dumb. Let me tell you that. I mean, can they just stay over there in Tornado Alley doing their own thing? Here's my opinion. I guess, like, I would like to see Tennessee win another national championship in my lifetime. Put Oklahoma and Texas in there, I got no shot. I don't know. I just I think it's good for football in general to have like a powerhouse conference, but don't we already have that? It's going to be too much. Brent, it's Tony the Stud. Love you guys. Check you next week.
See you, bro. It's been a long week, man.
There's a lot of hate for Texas Oklahoma edition. I mean,
dude, I wouldn't mind.
It's all about the money. Everybody gets paid more. Everybody eats more.
Alan Bell asked me before he came on what has been the reaction from Tennessee fan, and I said, outside of Brent, I don't know a Tennessee fan that's on board with this.
What? Why are you running from this?
I mean, no, that's what I'm saying. Is he just asked me? Because then I was like, I really don't know a Tennessee fan that is.
Listen, you're going to have super conferences. It's going to happen. You're going to have a 16-team playoff. It doesn't matter. If Texas and Oklahoma were leaving anyway. So if you're the SEC, of course you want them. Right? Like, so there are more spots that are going to be opened up into a larger playoff. You're adding two teams, but you're gaining 12 college football playoff spots.
I mean, the only person I think that should be, like, pissed about, well, besides A&M, is Alabama.
Yeah, they're not bitching. Excuse me, they're not Baltimoring.
Much better.
Oklahoma State, or Stud, or whoever you are. Oklahoma State's president released a scathing letter. At least that's how it's described. I haven't read it yet. We'll read this for you in the 5 o'clock hour. Also, Todd Furman coming up next on 104.5 The Zone.